This is St. Paul Lutheran Church on May 5th, 2019. Pastor Aaron Rago preaching on Revelations 5, 11, and 12.
Good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. John says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped." This scene from Revelation is amazing. It's glorious, it's beautiful, but it's also hard for us to comprehend. Because there's a lot of little details here about how God is working and what's happening that tell us what the scene looks like. The book of Revelation itself as a whole uses a lot of metaphor and imagery and picture language to describe what God is doing. So we're going to take a look at what God is saying here and how he is at work in our midst in Revelation chapter 5. And primarily, I hope that you look at this picture and you realize that this is us. We are gathered in this image. This is you and me and everyone who follows Jesus of every place and every time proclaiming these words at the end of chapter 5. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This is our song. This is our future that we have to look forward to. We get a glimpse into the future here in Revelation 5 as we stand around God's throne. This is also our present, because this is what we do when we come here, when we gather together in God's name, filling the space with the body of Christ together. This is the action of God's people in church as we proclaim this truth. It's the scene that also echoes the past. Like Moses and Isaiah and Peter and John throughout the Bible, people come to Yahweh and they're standing on before God on a mountain, or they're standing with Jesus on a boat, or they're standing like John here before the throne of God, and in his presence, they worship him. And this is what we do. When we come to church, we worship. And the word that is used throughout the Bible that we translate worship, like we see it used here at the end of Revelation chapter 5, the last word that is in our text for this morning, the word that we translate as worship is proskuneo. This word proskuneo is used over 250 times to talk about worship in the Bible, but it means more than just this idea of worship. Proskuneo has action associated with it. It means to kneel down or even to prostrate yourself before God. It's the action that we see the Magi doing. We get this word proskuneo in that scene when the Magi come before the infant Jesus and they come to worship him and they kneel down before him. You can think of that scene in the Boar's Head Festival down at Concordia if you've ever been there, where the Magi come to the front in front of the infant king and they sing, "Fall on your knees." This is how we see people worship Jesus, as Jesus is coming into their towns and villages and they desire Jesus to heal them. And so they kneel down before Jesus, worshiping him, asking for their healing. This is how people mock Jesus. Like we see in Mark chapter 15. Before his crucifixion, they were striking him on the head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And this is how the disciples respond to Jesus, risen from the dead, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, as they stand before him in the Mount of Olives. They kneel before him and worship him before he ascends into heaven. Worship, as we see it here in Revelation chapter 5, is that physical action that shows what is true in our hearts, what our heart faith is. It's being reverent and acting in submission before Yahweh. Think of it in the way, dating myself, maybe this is a little weird pop culture reference, but think of it in the way that Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World kneel down before their musical idols and they say, "We're not worthy, we're not worthy." Well, that's what's happening in Revelation chapter 5 at the very beginning, because John is standing there and he sees the Father holding a scroll in his right hand, which means that this scroll contains the completeness of God's redemption for his people. But then as John is seeing this, he sees that these words aren't being proclaimed, and they're not proclaimed until someone worthy can read them. And as John looks at the scene, it says that he begins to weep. Not just cry, but the deep wailing and stream of tears and emotions that comes when you are so full of sorrow you can't shake that emotion. And he's crying this way because he recognizes what's wrong with all of creation. We are unworthy. No one can open the scroll. No one's holy like the Father. So reading between the lines, he's pointing to us when we read this text. He's saying, you and me, we're unworthy. John is weeping over our sin. That's the deep depravity and the reality of our sinfulness. It leads to sadness and grief and pain. You and I have caused this from our inborn sin and from our outward sin as we disrupt and destroy our relationships with one another. This is John's sorrow. And that's when an elder steps in and he talks to John. And this is the perfect person to talk to John about this scene, because he's one who has gone through the life of suffering and now is at peace before God's presence, to tell John to stop weeping. And he tells him to lift up his eyes and look to the Lamb of God. In John's revelation, it's as if this is the moment in history when the ascension happens, when Jesus comes to stand at the right hand of the Father and take this scroll from him. And John lifts up his eyes and sees that there is one who is worthy, one who is deserving of the task to open up this scroll. And you've heard about him before. You've heard about the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is in the Old Testament that was prophesied. And Jesus comes from this family and line of Judah's family tree. And the lion is the symbol of his messianic rule and reign and power. And this elder is talking to John, and they're remembering what Isaiah wrote about the one called the Root of David. And this one, Jesus, now is coming to stand in this throne room of God as king, the perfect king, the king that God desired for his people, who would be filled with righteousness and faithfulness and will rule with peace. The Lamb stands, as John says then, in the midst of this gathering around him as one who has been slain. And that's exactly why he is called worthy. John makes it clear that this is Jesus who died in the place for all people, and he redeemed all nations, he ransomed every tribe, he brought all people to this moment in the presence of God. So the scene of sorrow that John has over the sin-filled creation has turned into this new victory celebration, because Christ, the Lamb who was slain, has overcome death. That's the Easter message, that he is risen from the dead and he lives forever. And Jesus shares this victory with everyone who follows him. And then to amplify this scene, then John points out that Jesus has seven horns and seven eyes. Now, this is a strange image for us, but it's important to see what he's proclaiming here. Seven, throughout the book of Revelation especially, is the number of divine completeness. And Jesus' horns are reminiscent of the horn of victory that we read as God is using to show the power of his people and he winning victory for his people throughout the Old Testament. And so now, here in Revelation 5, Jesus holds the horn of victory, but not just one, but seven in completeness, showing he has power over all things. And then he has seven eyes that show that he has all wisdom and knowledge over how God is going to act as this scroll is opened and God's fulfillment for his people is accomplished. This is in contrast to the horns that we see of Satan. Later on in the book of Revelation, we've seen Satan has 10 horns. And this is a number that shows that he misuses this power of God. He uses that power that he wields to deceive God's people. Jesus' seven horns show the divine completeness of that power. The point is, in showing that Jesus has seven horns and seven eyes, is to say that someone had to be in charge of opening this scroll. The chosen one of the Father, his Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus, could do it. Because Jesus died for the sins of the world. He rose from the dead, defeating sin and death and the power of the devil. And the entire destiny of the human race now stands under the lordship and the headship of Jesus. Our lives aren't simply left to fate. We're not just going along with the flow of the universe. John shows us this to remind us that there is one who has taken up the task of securing your future, your life, by taking this scroll. And as the Lamb takes the scroll, as we recognize him as the worthy one in our place, we enter into one of the greatest songs of universal praise ever recorded. These living creatures and elders fall down before the Lamb, ready to sing of his infinite worth. And the song begins with those who are nearest to Jesus or around that throne. And then it continues to move outward. And then it includes the thousands upon thousands of angels who are gathered there. And then it is sung by every creature in heaven and earth and you and me. You and I are mentioned right here. We are pictured in this scene. This is what we will see in our future, gathered around the throne of the Lamb. We all bow down, and then we proclaim those attributes that can only be true of the Lamb, that he has power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. He has all power to create and sustain all things. And he has all wealth, not material wealth, not monetary wealth. This is spiritual wealth that flows with his grace to bring about the salvation of the human race. He has all wisdom that flows from him through us and enables us to then read that word of God and trust in him with faith. And might, he has might to work all the acts of God for his people and conquer the works of Satan. He has honor that is due him because of his death in our place. And he has blessing and glory as he stands before us as Lord and God. And he speaks words of eternal peace through this scroll for all people. These are the things that are true about Jesus. This is what we sing and proclaim as God's people. Revelation 5 is hard for us to fully grasp and get a picture of in our minds to really understand and imagine ourselves in that moment around God's throne. We get a small glimpse of it here in Revelation 5 through this description, through this new song, through this proclamation of the one who is worthy. But we get a tangible taste of what this will be like. When we gather here and we stand before the altar of God, we come to worship him, and we come in this place with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. We come here with those who have gone before us and rest with Christ, who also worship and proclaim these truths with us. We come not as ones who are unworthy, because we have the worthy one who was slain for us, who also now calls us worthy. Revelation 5 starts out describing our past, full of sorrow and our unworthiness. Because of Jesus' forgiveness and new life, we get to see our future here in Revelation 5. We get to see where we will sing a new song with all creation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, while we also know that we are worthy in the present to gather here to worship and to bow down and to kneel and praise the Lamb who was slain for us. And as we come to worship, as we gather around Jesus' throne, here we proclaim now and into eternity those songs of all creation for all time, with every tribe and language and people, all of God's church. We say, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And then we end with that definitive and final word, amen, where we proclaim, this is true, this I trust, this is right, this is what Jesus has done for me. He is the one who is worthy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As God's church gathers,